You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you this morning. Glad you're here. Everybody well? Great. So glad you're here today. So the whole focus today at Calvary Church is really on small groups, on being together, and the title of the message is simply this: you were made for connection. You're made for connection. You're made for relationships. You're made for communion. You're made for community. You're an image bearer of Almighty God. How many of you know you're made in the image of God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. One God, and yet, image bearers, we were made for relationship. Made for relationship with God, made for relationship with other people. And we cannot fully bear the image of God, nor can we fully express all God has for us, unless we are building relationships with other people. That's really the sermon this morning, quite frankly, in a nutshell. That's pretty much it. I just want to pick up on some things that Tracy and Ken said in that video this morning. They talked about how your house doesn't have to be perfect. Everything doesn't have to be just right. Some of you may never feel like you're led to lead a group, or you may not feel like you have the ability to lead a group. But if you love having people to your home, why not host a group in your home that somebody else could lead? That would be wonderful. In the Bible, hospitality has nothing to do with our home. It has nothing to do with how it looks, or, you know, we got all the right napkins, ladies, all the Martha Stewart stuff, you know, whatever. That's not hospitality in the Bible. Hospitality in the Bible means to open your heart to strangers. It means to welcome new people. If you have that gift of hospitality, why don't you consider? Some of you need to be considering the call of God on your life. Some of you are being called to facilitate a small group. You don't have to have the gift of teaching. You don't have to know everything to lead a small group. It's facilitating people to discover together and speak together. If you're a more mature Christian, maybe you've got a whole lot of Bible knowledge. You always want more, but guess what? You need to use some of what you've got. Let the Lord call you to facilitate somebody. And that's really, again, the heart of the message today is simply this, that we're made for connection. Pastor Dan Gerlando was over this area, and when he resigned, I began to pray about what God wanted us to do. And for quite some time now, even though he was over this area, in my heart, I guess the Lord was just preparing me, in my heart there was this growing desire, this growing reality of how I really needed a very direct link to life group leaders. That really they're an extension of my leadership and of the church, of the pastoral ministry of feeding and leading and guiding and discipling people to follow Christ. And so as I was praying, just thinking, I said, Lord, what exactly from your angle? I know what we say. I know I've read all the books. You know, there's this one thinks that and that one thinks that. I mean, you know, everybody's got an opinion on everything. I said, Lord, what is it? What do you think the purpose of a life group is? What is our purpose to have small groups at Calvary Church? And immediately, the Lord brought this phrase to my mind from the book of Philippians chapter 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In that text, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is speaking to the Philippians, and he says to them in Philippians 1, I don't know that these guys have these verses, so you have to listen carefully. Paul is speaking to them about how they're living together as a church, and he says to them, I want you to live in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. I want your lifestyle to reflect and be in like manner to the good news about Christ. And then he says this, he says, and then I will know, listen, then he says, I will know that you are together, striving together as one, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then in that text, he goes on to say, hey, you know, Don't be selfish. Have the same mindset that Jesus had. In verse 5 of chapter 2, he says, in your relationships with each other, this is how you need to think. This is the mindset you need to have in your relationships with each other. He said, have the same kind of thinking that Jesus had when he left heaven and made himself a servant. And he gave his life on the cross to be obedient to the Father. He says, that's how you need to relate to each other. It's Philippians 2, 5. And in that context, as we read on down further, Paul says, hey, God is working in you to will and to work according to his good pleasure. So in verse 12, he says, work out your salvation. Live out what it means to be a Christian. Live out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, do it respectfully. Take it seriously and live out who you are as a follower of Christ. I was reading, Kevin, grab me that book over there on the front row, which I was reading this week in my devotions. I was reading Dr. David Jeremiah. Don't you love David Jeremiah, if you know him? I was reading one of his little commentaries, and this particular week, I believe it was maybe Friday, this was the devotional thought there. He says, we hear a lot about priorities in life these days, and there are many. Every area of life, family, work, personal, has its own set of priorities. But is there one priority that stands above all others? It could be said that attaining eternal life is more important than any other goal in life. After all, eternal life was the gift of God in the beginning, and it is what was lost due to sin. So reestablishing that status could be seen as priority one in life. But I have already achieved that priority, you say. After all, Jesus said that knowing the Father and the Son is eternal life. I know the Father through faith in Jesus, and I have eternal life. Yes, knowing Christ is where eternal life begins, but by its very definition, it never ends. All of earthly temporal life should be lived in the light of the eternity we possess and the presence of God we anticipate. We should be living now in the same way we will live in heaven forever. Amen. I thought that was such a good thought, and it blends with this whole concept about being together, made for relationships. So the essence of the message today is simply this. You need to make some friends with other believers, listen, outside of your own natural family. You need some people that are different than you. You need to make some friends with other Christians to help you work out your salvation. If all you do is attend large gatherings, you come in, you sit in a chair, and you bolt as soon as you can. If that's all you do, if all you do is listen to the podcast, you're just watching online. We love that you're watching online, but that's all you're doing. You're not going to be able to work out your salvation. It's impossible. Because, say it with me, you are made for connection. And we go, our text this morning is actually 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go over there quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we think about being made for connection, there are four reasons that surface in this text of why you and I ought to connect, intentionally make friends with other people who know the Lord to help us work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And the first one is simply this. In 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to be looking at verse 12 and following. Let me set it up quickly. So Paul is writing the Corinthians, and how many of you know, I don't know, maybe you're not aware, the Corinthian church was wild. Boy, they were all over the map. Are you with me? They had all kinds of problems. I'll tell you some of them later in the message. But Paul is trying to straighten up some stuff. They were divided and had cliques, and I had all kinds of stuff going on. And so in this context, Paul writes to them, and he compares the church to a human body. So that's the picture. So the church, you and me, are like a human body. And so Paul says, number one, you and I need to make connections in groups with people because of your identity. there are no isolated believers. In verse 12, he says this, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And there is a sense in which you and I are one with the Christians in the Bahamas. We are one with the Christians in China this morning. We are one body. We are not multiple bodies. We are one body. It is the body of Jesus Christ. We're in different locations, and so the actual function of connecting and living happens in local settings. And it's in the local setting that we need to live this out. And so he says there's one body. Verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit, so that to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, regardless of our earthly race, we were all baptized by the same Spirit into the same body. Whether slave or free, regardless of our socioeconomic status, our educational level, we're all baptized by the Holy Spirit into how many? One body. And so what Paul is telling us here, what the Holy Spirit is saying, is that we share the same salvation experience. You and I share the same conviction. You and I became Christians in the same way, even though our stories are very different. We all came to Christ in the same way. God did something in our life to show us how much we needed Jesus Christ. We heard the gospel in some form or fashion. The Holy Spirit convicted us and told us, you need Jesus now. And so we said, yes. Every single one of us that are followers of Christ got the same way. What does that mean? It means we have the same Heavenly Father. It means that you and I share the same DNA. I hope you get a hold of this because this is really important. I don't care what our earthly races, earthly cultures, earthly identifications, all of those old identifications have passed away. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have the DNA of a Heavenly Father. We've been born again. We're filled with the Spirit of God, and we've got to let go of some of the things of our earthly culture and live the culture of heaven. You and I are to live the culture of heaven, not the old identities of earth. I didn't plan to get that worked up on that. Even though we came from different backgrounds and cultures, earthly speaking, and even though we have different preferences about music style or preaching style or decoration or all of the rest of it, you and I are one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. And despite all of our differences, we share the same Holy Spirit, all baptized, all saying Jesus is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord, if we're living the culture of heaven, if we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we're loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's who we are. And it doesn't matter what culture or race or background we came from. Bless God, we love one another. And thank God, we're in a church that does exactly that. I marvel as I watch you love one another. Hallelujah. Thank God for His love and His grace in our lives. But we need to make connections because of our identity. It's who we are. We are people of the Spirit, and we are members of Christ's body. That's who we are. As a follower of Christ, you're not an isolated individual doing your own thing. No, together we're the temple of the Lord. Together we're the body of Christ. Together we're the army of the Lord. Together. What I'm saying is this, that you and I discover and fulfill our identity as a follower of Christ. Listen to this. You and I discover and fulfill our identity as a follower of Jesus Christ in the context of partnership with other believers, not on the sports field, not at our jobs, not in our hobbies, not even in our natural families or ethnic backgrounds. No, as a follower of Christ, born again by the Holy Spirit, we find and develop our identity committing in partnership with others who are followers of Christ, our new family. We let go of some things of our family backgrounds and cultures. How many of you know, as wonderful as your family is, there are some things about it that are not great? Some things that are not biblical. Listen, I got news for you. There are some things about your culture that you were raised in that are not biblical. Well, they're rooted in you. You absolutely believe they're true, but they're not. And until you get mixed up with some other people who are extremely different from you, and you get out of your family culture and your little deal, the Holy Spirit then has an opportunity to start showing you some truth about stuff, and you start going, oh, so that's what the Bible means. Are you out there this morning? You need to connect to other. You need to intentionally make friends with other disciples of Christ because of who you are. It's your identity. So the statement on your sheet then says this. It says, every believer has the need and responsibility to connect with other believers. I mean, really, this shouldn't be this difficult for us to really get a hold of. But we've grown up in an America that is just fiercely independent. We, you know, rugged individualism. That's America. That's not heaven. Heaven is three in one. Heaven's community. Heaven's relationship. Are you following me today? This shouldn't be this difficult for us to figure out. We love going to the sports things. Eagles playing today? Playing today, right? Go Eagles. We love that, right? But there's not a foot, there's not a quarterback on the planet. I don't care how great they are. I don't care how talented they are. There's not a quarterback on this planet that can play football by themselves. When I was a kid, I tried, right? Put! I'd throw it real nice and high, and I'd run, catch the ball. How many of you are, all the men who did that, let me see your hands, come on. It was way more fun when I actually had some friends to do it with. Then I could play the one role that I was good at, which was catching the ball, running and catching, not throwing. Are you listening to me? You see, you and I think of ourselves like golfers. I can go golf by myself. Hallelujah. Great therapy. I get out there. I don't think about you at all. Well, some of you, I picture you as the ball. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding now. Come on. No. Totally kidding. I can play golf by myself, but I cannot play soccer. I can't play basketball. I can't do it by myself. I need a team. Why? Because it's a team sport. Biblical Christianity is a team sport. We're on a team. You're with me? You need to connect because your identity. Number two, you need to connect because of your importance. Would you just say to yourself, either out loud or in your own mind, would you say this? I am an important member of this church. See, some of you don't believe that. But the Bible says you are. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there are no unimportant believers. Verse 14 says, even so, the body is not made up of one part but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. Let's read further. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. The whole body, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If the whole body was a big eye, and it's just rolling around everywhere. First of all, it's going to pick up a lot of sand and be irritated and not be able to see. Second of all, it doesn't have any hands or feet. Third of all, it cannot hear. It cannot speak. It's just a big old eyeball. How many of you know that would be weird? But we got Christians all over America saying, yeah, I don't go to church. I'm not part of a church. Just me and God in the woods. Eyeball, eyeball. Well, Pastor, I would get more plugged in if I had that kind of personality that Ron Crognelli has. But I'm not like Ron, so I can't. You know, Pastor, I would definitely connect if I had the gifts that John Blaufuss has. But I don't, so I'm not important. The scripture says here that there is absolutely not one person who can say, I am not important to the body, and we don't stop being part. Listen, you don't stop being a part of the body just because you refuse to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, when you say, I'm not important, you're calling God a liar. And you're robbing yourself and you're robbing the body of the very things that he's put in you for strategic purposes. In fact, look at verse 18. Can we just read verse 18 out loud together? Let's read it aloud together. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now remember, he's not just talking about a human body here. He's talking about the church. So in other words, God has placed every single person in this church exactly where he wanted them to be for the specific reason that he has for his purpose, his honor, his glory, his mission. It's not about me and my consumption. It's not about my feelings. It's not about what I want to do. It's not about the songs I want to sing or the stuff I want to live. It's about Jesus is Lord. He strategically put me into a fellowship in which I play a crucial part for the body to be the body of Christ. That's the deal. We think too much like American consumers instead of heavenly Christians. You need to connect because of your importance. On the statement there, it says, every believer has the need and the responsibility to contribute to other believers. God has given you. God has put something in you. There is something unique about you that God intends for you to contribute to other believers. He wants you to be a part so that you will benefit others with what he's done in you. Romans chapter 12, I don't think they have these verses either. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, listen to this. Paul says, for by the grace that's been given to me, and what he means by that is, God gave me the grace to be an apostle, and so as an apostle, I'm teaching you now. So he says, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, listen to this, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober or with sound or with accurate, think of yourself with accurate judgment in accordance with the measure of faith, the scriptures, the measure of faith that God has given you. He says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though we are many, form one body. Listen to this. And each member belongs to all the others. We actually belong to each other. If I'm a follower of Christ, I've been baptized into one body. I'm a new person in Christ. I have a place of importance. I'm made for connection. Number three, you need to connect into a group and make friends to help you work out your salvation because of your interdependence. There are no unimportant believers, and there are no independent believers. No isolated believers, no unimportant believers, and there are no independent believers. Verse 20. Verse 20 back in Corinthians says this, as it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. You're not from my background. I don't need you. You're not in the same socioeconomic class I'm in. I don't need you. You don't have the kind of personality that I like. I don't need you. You don't speak English very well. I don't need you. Sure is quiet out there. My Bible says, God said, the Holy Spirit said, there's not one person who can say to another person in the body of Christ, I don't need you. Now, I need Angela. I need Kim. I don't need you. I can choose who I need. Are you out there? No, it says, let's read further. It says, verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. He probably has in mind here things like our heart and our kidney or our lungs. They seem to be weaker, and so they are protected with a skeleton, and you can't even see them. They're behind the scenes. You can't see the people back there in the sound booth today. Doesn't mean they're unimportant. They're extremely important. How many of you are glad they put the words on the screen and get the songs up there and in a stream when you're not? How many of you are thankful for that? Doesn't mean they're unimportant. It just means they're not visible right now. He says, no one can say, I don't need you, because those that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. What he probably has in mind here is just our torso. What he's thinking in terms of how, you know, we cover up our torso sometimes with appropriate clothes. Sometimes have you ever been out in public walking around and you see somebody and you say, I wonder, does that person look in the mirror? Have you ever had that question? I'm just saying, you know. We were shopping yesterday, I saw this lady, you know, and I'm thinking, did that woman actually look in the mirror when she put that on? I don't know, because it did not flatter her torso. Can I get an amen here? Come on. Come on. I'm trying to keep it real here this morning. The Holy Spirit says, listen, we treat those parts, you know, we try to dress it up, for crying out loud, and make it a little more presentable. Why? Because we care about the body. Women put all that stuff on their eyes. It always amazes me. Some woman driving down the highway doing this, I'm thinking, honey, you got more faith in New Jersey drivers than I do. Come on. Holy smokes. She might want to be more careful. Are you with me? Now, he says, those parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable, our private parts, he says, are treated with special modesty. Here's his point. God has put the body together. God has put the body together so that there should be, and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that we would have equal concern for one another. In this text, Paul is trying to say to us, listen, you are interdependent. You are mutually dependent on the other people in the fellowship. You need other believers, who are not part of your family, not part of your race, in an earthly sense, because you need them to contribute into you. They need you to contribute into them. You're important, they're important. We are mutually dependent. We need one another. And what was the context? Again, who was Paul talking to? Well, listen, here it is. The cultural context. Here's the church at Corinth. They were valuing some preachers over others based on their style. They were using spiritual gifts to gain attention for themselves and build up their egos. They were devaluing people in the congregation based on their socioeconomic status, and they were boasting about immorality going on in the church instead of confronting it. They were suing each other in public courts, and by doing that, dishonoring the name of Christ. They were flirting with idolatry by attending pagan parties. They were getting drunk at the communion services, being selfish with their food and not sharing it, and they were flaunting their knowledge and freedom regardless of the impact it had on other believers. How many of you are glad you don't go into that church? But Paul addresses them as saints because they're trusting Christ, and he wants them to live a manner worthy of the calling to which they have received, and it has to do with how we relate to each other. It's about relationships. We're made for connection. You and I need to understand this. Listen to me. Diversity does not highlight inferiority or superiority. I want to say that again because it's so important. Diversity does not highlight inferiority or superiority. Diversity highlights the wisdom and the power of God and the need I have for people very different from me. Oh, that's good preaching. Come on. That's good. We need other people. So the statement on your sheet, every believer has the need and responsibility to collaborate with other believers. Back over there in Philippians 2, verse 3, Paul put it like this. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, thinking that somehow you're better or maybe worse. No, don't do that, he says. But in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. You need to connect with other believers, not just run in and out of church. This is not a convenience, spiritual convenience store that you pop in and get your spiritual protein bar so you can run out and do what you want to do the rest of the week. This is the place where you and I come together to hear from God, be equipped and empowered to partner together, to build one another up and fulfill the will of God for Delran and this entire area and around the world, in parts of the world you and I probably never visit. But we make an impact because we're partnering together, because together we're the body of Christ, not apart. And so we need to connect. We're made for fellowship and friendship because of our importance, because of our interdependence, because of our identity. And then finally, you and I are made for connection because of your issues. There are no insulated. But turn to somebody next to you, look them right in the eye and say, you got issues. Come on. You got issues. All right, everybody, point your finger up here at me and say, Pastor, you got issues. Go ahead. You got it. Hey, I've got issues. How about you? Man, I got more baggage. Come on. Somebody say amen. I carried a bunch of baggage into this thing. Man, I grew up in a Pentecostal, old-fashioned, legalistic church that, bless God, if you didn't preach like this, you weren't really anointed, and you needed to work everybody up, and you needed to feel good all the time. Hallelujah! I got issues. Come on. I got issues. And I needed to move to New Jersey to work some of those babies out. And God sent you to Calvary Church for the same reason he sent me here, to work out our issues and glorify the name of Jesus Christ while we're doing it and move forward to fulfill the kingdom. Come on, somebody say amen. Hey, you and I are made for connection. None of us go through life without having some issues. We need people to rejoice with us. We need people to cry with us. We need people to pray for us. Oh, what a blessed time Wednesday night as we came together as a church family for prayer. And at the end, as Pastor Dan led and the people gathered to pray for me for renewed energy. Hallelujah. How many of you know God answers prayer? Come on. How many of you say, I wish they hadn't prayed that for you this week? Pastor, you're doing too much here today, bud. Come on, give me a break. I need to get out of here and get my egg and cheese McDonald's. Come on. Okay, I know this was not the deepest sermon on the planet. Can I get an amen? How many of you know we need a little kick in the rooster once in a while? You know what I'm talking about? Come on. My wife's giving me the shake. Come on. She's telling me to cut it out. Okay. So here's the conclusion. Well, wait. So on your sheet, every believer has the need and responsibility to care and to be cared for by other believers. You need to make some Christian friends. You need to get out of the bar. You need to get off the sports field a little bit. You need to stop working 65 hours a week. You need to get out of the basement, gluing your little model cars together by yourself. And you need to make some friends who will help you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So here's the conclusion this morning, and here is the altar call. Get out there and sign up for a group and get plugged in. Make some friends. Let me just give you a couple of quick practical things, and we'll sing our last song. So if you try a group and you go and you say, yeah, no, I this one's not for me. How many of you, are you out there? Hey, you're not going to fit every group. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to feel bad about that. You don't have to worry about they're going to feel bad about it. They won't. Well, they will, but they'll get over it. Come on. So you just say to the leader, you say, hey, you know what? I really like you, but I just feel like maybe I need to look for another group. Try another group. Keep doing that until you find one that fits. How many of you don't buy the first pair of shoes you try on? So find a group that fits and wear it well. Amen? And let's learn how. Listen, can we learn how to be the body of Christ instead of a bunch of individuals who show up at a church on a Sunday morning, sing a few songs, hear a motivational speech, and go live the rest of our life however we want to? Wouldn't it be awesome if we would be the body of Christ?
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.